Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of the Calchos Pantheon. As always, I am your host, Danielle, and I am joined by my podcast partner and fellow journalist, Elliot. How are you doing this afternoon?
Could be better after yesterday's game, but I'm good.
Well, as always, we had another exciting week in football, especially in Serie A, where there was a lot of key matchups. So, as always, we're going to just jump right in and get this party started. The first match that took place over the weekend was Fiorentina winning 3-0 against Spezia, who had won the week before against Milan.
Yeah, you know what struck me about this game?
What's that?
It was so frustrating watching for Fiorentina because that's how good they can be. That was the best Fiorentina game I've seen all season. They were world class. They passed with precision. They made smart decisions. They got into dangerous areas and were extremely effective. And it just, when you see them play like that and you see them in, what are they, 15th in the table or what are they in? 14th in the league. 14th. I got it. 14th in the league. It's just like, why cannot they not play like that more often? They were flawless. They barely put a foot wrong. And that's what the biggest takeaway for me is the fact that Fiorentina were perfect. We know how talented they are. And they have multiple talents throughout this team. They have experience. If you just looked at the team at face value, it's just like, okay, how this team you would assume would be a team that's at least not maybe going to Europe, because obviously some better teams out there, but threatening Europe. And watching Fiorentina a game was so satisfying because it shows you how good they can be. They took out Spezia, who's a team that beat Milan, as you said. And then other than that, you look at sort of the other teams that they've taken points off of. They've taken points off of a few different teams in the top five. They even beat Napoli. So it's just like it's not a landmark for Fiorentina's the greatest team of all time. But Fiorentina's performance was perfect. And you sit back and you say, wow, that's how good they can be. And then you sort of ask yourself, why don't I see that every week?
I mean, that is one thing that really shocked me as well, is like they were performing with poise and finesse. And I'm like, what did they do here that they're not converting to other like matches? Because this team played damn near perfectly. And it just sucks that we don't, like, see it more consistently from them, like, throughout the other matches. What do you think was wrong with Spezia this week compared to their match against Milan?
Well, I think that Spezia didn't see the team they thought they were going to. And when Fiorentina started so hot on the counter, in efficiency, in strategic approach, it caught them off guard, and once that happened, they couldn't deal with it. And again, as you said, Fiorentina was great. Needless to say, that might have, and I know there was a bigger game where obviously Inter was outstanding this weekend as well, but that might be like in terms of you couldn't have said one thing wrong with that performance. If you play that game over 10 times, if they play like that, the result is always the same. Where obviously, Inter was the other team that played really well this weekend, but Handanovic had to make some big saves in that game. Dragunovski didn't have to do anything. His team basically did everything. Vladovic scored, and then obviously Kashvili scored, and then they had a beautiful goal in a counterattack, and AR had to look at the first goal. But the first goal was great. Ball almost goes out of bounds, hits it in bounds, and you know, Vladovic flies through the air with a that hits very similar to the Liverpool goal in the Champions League last week. That didn't count. But that was something. It was just such a great performance. And it's almost so much to the point that Spezia, what Spezia did didn't matter, because obviously considering everything that went down with the game, they were perfect. I And it's so frustrating watching this because it's like, why is this not the Fiorentina we see all the time? You know how good the league would be if we have, you know, the usual suspects,
right?
Milan teams, Juventus, Napoli, Roma, Alanza, Lazio, and then a Fiorentina team that plays like that every week. I mean, good Lord. I mean, the Bundesliga is the best league in the world at this point, in my point of view. And I think of people that are watching multiple leagues, that's basically the conclusion that people come up with. But if Fiorentina could put that performance together on a regular basis or a somewhat regular basis in comparison to the rest of the league, the gap between Italy and Germany would tighten, because you'd have six teams that are already really good. And then you have another team that can potentially negotiate themselves into a race. And it just doesn't make sense how they're this talented. And they, we only see this once in a while. And not to degrade Fiorentina, because I think we should be talking very positively about the way they play. But to me, that Fiorentina performance, it looked like a Champions League team, not a team that's in 14.
Right. Why do you think Fiorentina have like an issue performing like this, like on a routine basis? Is it like they psych themselves out? Is it like the way they're lining their formation up?
No, there's no denying their talent. They're a top six team in terms of talent. And I think that is why you and I have had such an issue with them. Not because they don't have what it takes. We obviously think they have what it takes, but they can't fulfill the expectation that's put on them. And maybe it's to a fault. Maybe the manager, the president needs to shut his trap and let his team perform instead of saying we're going to be in the Champions League in 3 years. And the expectations of others that are putting on them. And obviously great teams can deal with expectations. There's been expectations on a lot of the top teams in the league this season, precisely and consistently. And most of them have been, you know, the top of the table has been able to perform. Some would even say overperform what they're supposed to. Where Fiorentina has no expectations and they still haven't, or they've had, that's not fair. They had the expectation of being a dark horse team. And they haven't been able to live up to it, mostly because there's been a lot of pressure on them to do that for the last couple of years. And the whole thing about them saying they're going to do this and that, and it never happens, isn't because they don't have the players or the talent to do it. It's because, I don't know why it is, but it's like, I believe when I see it. But a performance like that, it was perfect. They barely put a foot wrong. And I really hope we can see Fiorentina again, because I missed them already. I feel like next week they're not going to look like that, and I'm going to be sad.
who do they play next week, by the way?
I can check that for you. Just give me a second here. I got the fixtures on one screen, the table on the other screen. Udinese. You know, they could repeat it against them, but it's just we see this team like play at this so infrequently that when they do, the second the game is over, you feel like you missed them already. Like I said, you've missed them already, because I have a feeling that next week this is not going to be the performance we see. And maybe that is. Maybe they get hot. I would love them to push for the top eight. I think that'd be great, but it's just the issue is that we see this team so inconsistently that when we see like this, we get overexcited. And then the next week, our expectations of them go back to normal. But they're talented enough to play this every week. And that's the issue that I've had with them. That's the issue you've had with them. And anyone who's criticized them over the last couple of years have had. Not their talent is undeniable. It's executing on it. And very rarely do you see them play like this. I haven't seen a performance like this from Fiorentina in years, in the last couple of years, certainly.
Yeah, but this result for Fiorentina and the way they perform was absolutely world-class from them. I just hope that they're able to at least get hot and maybe show what they're finally capable of. Because like you just said, this team has a lot of talented players who can perform at a good top-notch quality, but they're just not given the room to perform. Maybe it's like somebody saying, oh, we got to maintain our stigma of being this kind of team. And then we say, oh, we're the best, one of the best, going to be competing for this, but they just never failed. Then they failed to deliver.
They showed up against Juventus in that drubbing, and that was a great performance. But that was Chiesa going back to Fiorentina. There was a lot of emotions driving this game, that game, where this one didn't have any extra motivation. This was just they showed up and they performed it. And I was blown away by the performance. It's hard to even comprehend how a team that's capable of that can't string it together. And that's the issue. I really hope they can keep this going. And against Udinese, they have a chance. But, like, it was just – there's nothing negative you can say about it. It was perfect. The counterattacking with football was beautiful. They defended well. They got into dangerous spaces. They basically were toying with Spezia at the end of it. And to be honest, they probably could have scored more goals than they did. So it was perfect.
Yeah, and then there's Spezia, who competed and beat Milan 2-0 last week, and then they lose this week. I mean, of course they're staying up, but it was just unfortunate that they got this result. But overall, they've been performing very well themselves, especially since coming up from Serie B. But there's really not much to be said, except the main takeaway is that
Fiorentina is amazing, and I don't think you can even give Spezia any kind of criticism or blame for what happened. I think if that Fiorentina team plays anybody, if they played like that the last week and they played any team in the league, I think it's a similar result. Maybe if they played a team that's like way more talented than them, they would lose. But it's hard to believe based on the performance they put together against Spezia, that if had they played someone else, the game would have gone any different. Because I think I know this is mostly about Fiorentina. Spezia was Spezia, but they were only in that situation because Fiorentina were so brilliant that I don't know anybody who would have beat them last weekend, honestly.
Exactly. Up next, we have Torino winning 1-0 against Cagliari.
Well done for Torino. They actually have some separation now at the top. They have a 5-point distance between themselves and Cagliari, who they just beat. That was their first one of the last five. So in the last five games, they haven't lost a game after starting the season so terribly. It looks like they're – and 5 points is kind of a lot from the bottom. So it does look like they're going to start to create a little separation from themselves and the rest of the bottom. A late winner, I think it was after the 70th minute, a bullet of a header of death to get the 3 points. A tough battle, but a battle that that they ended up winning. And Cagliari just gets worse from here. I think that is their they've lost four of their last six games, or five of their last six games. They're not doing well, and yesterday their coach is sacked, so it seems inevitable that they're going down. But you never know what happens. But you know, it's just gonna be really difficult. I will say though, never mind. That's Bologna. Never mind. I get those two confused. I will say though nothing because I thought Bologna. But Torino get a big win, an important win, and then you look at Cagliari, a team that is not playing well, who continues to not play well, and it was tough. But Torino got the points, and now I'm not saying they should relax because I wouldn't want to be relaxed in 17th place, but they have some leeway if they end up playing some big teams and they come up short, because Parma's the form of the bottom three combined, they have one win. So Cagliari, Parma, and Crotone in their last five, only one of them. There's only one win between all three teams, which is 15 games, five each. of the last five, there's only one of those teams has picked up a win. So all of those teams are struggling. So the fact that Torino have 5 points in 17th away from the bottom, it makes me feel much more confident saying now that it seems like they won't be relegated because of how badly the bottom three are playing.
Yeah, I definitely 100% agree. Like, this was a huge win for them. Just based on how we've seen them perform early on in the season. And, wow, just only one team has actually gotten a win in their last five games out of the bottom teams. Holy mackerel, that's bad.
Yeah, so just the record show. So on current form, hold on a second. Crotone has lost four of the last five. Their last win coming five weeks ago. Parma has this week, and then before that, four straight losses. Cagliari, three straight losses and a draw, and then a loss before that. And then Torino has one win and four draws. So they picked up points in all of the last 5 weeks. And if you looked at the bottom three teams, combined, they have a combined of 5 points, while Torino, of their last five, has 6 points. So not just like a single thing, combined of those three teams and how the form. So they're in terrible form. So because that Torino gets propped up, because 5 points is not a lot, but it is a lot when the teams below you are playing so bad that you have the opportunity to be bad. And I'm not saying they will be, but, you know, when they play like Inter or Juventus or Milan or Roma or Napoli or Atlanta, the odds are against them. But now they have the leeway a little bit because of how bad the bottom three is.
Exactly. Yeah, but Cagliari continues their struggles. I mean, what do you think is really the main issue that's holding them back right now?
I don't know. This team has enough talent to be better. And then, man, DeFrancesco is on a big losing streak right now. He went from the Champions League semifinal with Roma to being sacked by Sampdoria and by Cagliari before the end of the season. Since he made the Champions League semifinal, he's been sacked three times, hasn't completed one season. I kind of feel bad for the guy, but in hindsight, it's probably partly his fault. But no, Cagliari have enough to be better. They're just not showing that they're capable of it. And I don't know what can save them. I would say this, though. They have a better team than both Crotone and Parma. I think on paper they have more talent. Yeah, so it's unfortunate. They thought bringing Rajan would be good for them in trying to upgrade and try and do something special. But it's not working out. And actually, at the end of the season, I might feel bad for Raja because you have to play a minimum 15 games to be qualified for a winning medal for the Scudetto. And he's only played six. And he was on the best team in the league. And then they shipped him off to the team that's in, 18th place. And he's only played six games for Inter. So even if Inter win the title, he can't get a winner's medal. So I kind of feel bad for him. This because he's been close with Roma all those times. And now he's about to win the title. And then they hadn't played enough games to be rewarded for it. So no, but Cagliari's a mess. I don't know where to begin. They're talented, but they, I don't know. They seem to be missing something.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate to see how Cagliari has been performing, but we all know at this point we're going to probably end up going down, obviously, because it's with Torino, this win with Torino, it kind of gives them that little separation that they kind of needed, especially going forward. But it just is unfortunate to see those bottom three teams that we expected to do a little bit better kind of not like live up to the hype. Yeah. Up next, your best friends Lazio win 1-0 against Sampdoria.
Yeah, I mean they look good. Luis Alberto scores in the first half. all that was required. Sampdoria, we have this conversation every time. Every time they play and they don't win, they still look good. I don't understand it. But Sampdoria didn't have a shot on target, and they still tested Lazio at different points of the game. Lazio probably should have scored more. I'm going to nominate the miss of the season to Mukiri, the Turkish striker that Lazio brought in from Fenerbahce, that Fernando hates, who said he was terrible. And genuinely, I've never seen a worse miss this season. So Lazio probably could have scored a couple more goals. A Mobley missed a sitter also. But, you know, they just got the victory. They're coming off a loss to Inter, and I have no doubt that they're going to be involved in this chase for the Champions League until the very end. But I would say that I think, in all fairness, Samp did play well, but Lazio were just better, and they had that one moment with Luis Alberto, and they had other moments where they could have scored more. But honestly, fair result, even though Samp had their chances. They just needed to convert in front of goal, and they weren't able to. But I don't think they're in a perfectly good position right now. They're still top 10, and they have 4 points from 11th. So Samp is not too broken up about this. They played tough, but they just didn't have what it took to beat a Lazio team with a much stronger personnel.
Yeah, definitely. Lazio were definitely the better team in this matchup. They did a great job creating chances, although that they had a couple good missed opportunities. They could have easily had, like, what, 3 or 4 more goals, maybe?
They could have had that's a little harsh on them. Not that it matters, but I would say that they probably could have had at least one, maybe two. I don't think it's fair to say, because Immobile wasn't really a sitter. It was just a strike they could have done better with. But the Mukiri one, or whatever his name is, that was definitely that was an open goal. So at least one more. But, you know, I don't think Lazio have to be too upset about that.
Agree. It's Sampdoria. They're obviously setting up, but they can't really be mad at how they performed. They probably had created a lot of great chances themselves. And they just were unfortunate when Luis Alberto found the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, Samp has only 9 wins and 11 losses. But, I mean, that's more losses than Torino. But they have good points. They have 30 points. They're 15 points from the bottom. They're not going relegated. And they're sitting comfortably in the top 10, for at least for the time being.
Yeah, exactly. This is overall good job, Lazio. And give me a second. Who do they play next week?
Bologna.
So, yeah, they should easily win that match as well. Because Bologna, even though haven't been performing that well, even though they're getting good themselves, because they said still in the top 10?
Yeah, they're 12th right now. They're 25 points, and they have picked up points in 3 of their last 5 games. They're doing fine.
Yeah, so it's that one. Lazio should win that one, but it'll probably be a more close game than most people realize, just based on the form of Bologna at this point.
It's a hard one to call. You never know what can happen in these types of games.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we've seen these kind of stories before, so it's like, this isn't our first rodeo. Anyway, up next, we got a 2-2 draw, Genoa and Hellas Verona.
Woohoo! This was a fun game, actually. Correct me if I'm wrong. Genoa equalized late, right? Not Verona, right? I'm just making sure I have this in order.
Hang on, give me a second. I can check this scoring sheet really quick.
I just want to know who scored the last goal. Was it Verona or Genoa?
It was Genoa in stoppage time.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right, no, it was a good game, back and forth. Good goals. I thought everyone kind of put themselves together. Verona Looks like they're going to get another a couple points there. They've been the sort of the prime example of inconsistent, where they basically have lost and won. They're kind of going back and forth between the two. They get a point here. I would say, Jen, that Verona are slightly disappointed in their inability to close the deal, because they were on the verge of getting a couple points. But then obviously Genoa steps up to the plate, gets another point, and they continue to be on the up and up, especially considering how poorly they started the season. They're 11th with 26 points, but considering where they started the season, how it's gone to the last couple of years, I think they should feel very happy about this situation. It looks like they're going to finish in the middle of the table, which is something that I don't think anybody really expected. I don't know anyone who had them any higher than like 15th. So I think they're playing well. They're continuing to play well. And I think they have something special there. Not to say they're going to go win the league or anything like that, but with a couple of additions, it could turn out to be something interesting. And then Verona, they're not going to be worried about relegation either or anything like that. They're in a good place right now. The question is how long they're going to be able to stay in the top 10. And, so they're ninth right now. But they have a good distance from Sampdoria right now. Verona's a good team. They have enough good, decent players, and I think there's going to be a good opportunity for them to continue to keep it up. But we'll just have to wait and see. But I think not really too much negative things to say about either team.
Yeah, exactly. This was a really hard-fought match between both teams. Obviously, Verona, as you just said, are kind of probably feel a little bit disappointed because they were just so close, but Genoa was able to like find it in the like last 4 minutes in stoppage time, which got them a point. But overall, this was a very good match for them, start to finish.
The point was it was probably justified for them, though. I think it was a great result, so I don't think either team is like, you know, crying about it. Obviously, Verona was so close to winning, so it's disappointing always when you lose by a late goal, or not lose, but a win is taken from you by a late goal. You should know that. So I just think that they should, both of them, be okay about it.
Yeah, definitely agree. I'm trying to think if there's any other thoughts I want to take away from this. Nope, I'm good at this point. Up next, we have another draw that happened this week. A 1-1 draw against Sassuolo versus Lunchmeat FC, otherwise known as Bologna.
I don't know what happened to Sassuolo, man. They were riding high. They were in third place at one point. Then they were in fourth place. And then they were in fifth place. And then they were in sixth place. And now they're in eighth place. And now they're not even in the European race yet. I mean, they could have scored more. It was just a kind of a back and forth game. And I think the person most responsible for what happened is Bologna's goalkeeper. He saved everything and anything that came his way. Obviously, Sassuolo, I think they scored in the second half to equalize. And Strakowski did so well of keeping those goals out. There were a lot of opportunities for Sassuolo to win this game, and he kept up making save after save after save, really showing something absolutely spectacular from an individual standpoint. Obviously, Bologna scored early in this game, and they were unable to close the deal. But, you know, they're a team that's been really inconsistent this season. So I think the hope is for them is they're continuing to get points, and I think that's what's important to them. And obviously, for like Sassuolo, it's just going to be another situation where you just want to see them do better. Obviously, they're going to lose a bunch of their pieces, but I think that they should at least keep themselves in earshot of the final Europa League spot. But we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, Sassuolo, what happened? But I mean, we all knew at the beginning of this season, like when we saw them performing really well and stuff, we knew it wasn't going to last. So, I mean, we saw them go for third, fourth, and they've taken the escalator down. But they should at least try to keep their sights on that final Europa League spot, because for them, that would be an accomplishment in itself for them, because this team normally is usually has finished 9th or 10th, I think, over the past few seasons.
They finished 8th last year, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, but their goal should at least be the final Europa League spot, just so they could say, hey, we finally made it to the Europa League. At least it's something we can be proud about.
I think they're 5 points away from it, because I think you need to get 7th, and Napoli's at 40 points, Sassuolo's at 35. So it's not going to be easy. Kind of like how it's not going to be easy for the teams at the bottom of the table to overtake Torino. But I think they're still in it. I would guess they don't do it, pull it off, because I just trust the other teams that are in front of them more. But it's certainly in there, in within reach.
Yeah, agreed. Bologna, great point for you. Especially with how you are performing right now. At least you're getting some results going, which is huge, because we saw you struggle early on, and we didn't know what was going to happen to them. But now they found their life, and they're starting to perform at the level we know that they're capable of. Up next, we have Parma drawing 2-2 against Udinese. Do we have a rant?
No, I don't need a rant, because I've just kind of decided that if they get relegated, it's their fault and they deserve it. Look, if you're gonna sign someone who scored 17 goals in 20 games and not play him, that's your own fault. It's your own fault. I'm sorry. I don't know how to make this more clear for you. You can't score goals. In this game, you did score goals, but you had a 2-0 lead and it disappeared. Maybe if you had another player out there who can actually put him in the back of the net regularly, maybe things like this doesn't happen. So I'm no longer irritated or mad at Parma. Obviously, I'd like my guy to not have to be playing to be relegated with the team that's relegated. But look, what's the point of signing attacking players if you don't play them? I mean, yes, you gave them, 25 minutes or something. Why would you not start someone who has 17 goals? Did you know? Actually, this is hilarious. I didn't even think about that. So Parma have scored 17 goals this season. Dennis Mann has scored 17 goals this season. He has the same amount of goals this season than Parma has had the entire campaign. Think about that. There's a player on his team sitting on the bench for long periods that has outscored the team. Going into this game, the score was Dennis Mann 17 goals, Parma 15 goals. I mean, if you can't see it what's clearly in front of you, you have a problem, and he's probably going to earn a move somewhere else if they get relegated. It's not looking good, and so on and so forth. But it's not. I don't need a rant anymore, because they're doing it to themselves. And if they go down, honestly, it's their own fault. You don't sign someone who scores goals and puts them on in the 67th minute and the 80th minute and the 88th minute. You need to be in the 45th minute. I don't understand what the problem is. They should be starting. Why would you not start someone who has 17 goals a season in 20 games? I just don't get it. You bring in that guy from Bayern Munich, Josh Jerky. Why is he not playing? It's almost like I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. I'm obviously not happy with the situation, but I don't need to yell and be mad, because in the end, Parma is the one's going to suffer. And the reason they're going to suffer is because they won't play. Their best players are sitting on the bench for long periods. And you have 17 goals this season. You have a player on the bench who has 17 goals this season. He's the same amount of goals as the entire team this season. and you're not playing him. So I just, it doesn't make sense. If you want to look at the numbers, he's got 17 goals in 24 games. Parma has 17 goals in 23 games or something. So it's just, I don't know what else to say. It's just, you're doing it to yourself. And if you go down, it's your own fault for something that could have been easily avoided by just using common sense.
Wait, but common sense would be too simple, though.
I guess so, but still, I mean, I don't know. Maybe the coach doesn't like him. I don't know the issue, but it's not just him. It's the guy from Bayern Munich, too. They both should be playing. And I know the worst player in the league, Andres Cornelius, scored a goal in the game. I don't care. He sucks. He's awful. So, you know, it's just – You just have to. They're going to figure it out one way or the other. They're either going to start to do this, and they're going to start playing well together, and they'll start getting up points, or they're going to get relegated. And I'm not going to feel bad for them because they did it to themselves.
Yeah, like I completely. It's like my mom's work. They're expecting people to do like more work for the same amount of pay and not get like. Compensated for it, and it's like it's not working efficiently. So it's like if you have these players sitting on the bench that could actually get you the results that you're looking for, then why aren't you doing it? And it's like, as my mom says with her work, I said in recent episodes, they're shooting themselves in the foot. And it's like if they get relegated now, yeah, we were kind of like upset about it at first, but now that we're seeing that they actually have the tools to possibly perform better, if they get relegated, we're not going to care because they did it to themselves. But I mean, oh, in general, Udinese got a point, but they should have.
They played okay. I mean, I know I made this mostly about Parma, but it's just so inherently obvious when you speak about them, and they're literally trying to lose. It seems like sometimes United played well. I thought Parma were lucky to even be in the front. Nothing to write home about. Nothing to sort of provide with some. You know, this is the most amazing thing. It was a good performance, not a great performance. It was a good performance from Parma, just because they scored, but. It could have gone either way, to be honest. And so I don't think this is bad for Udinese. They are not in threat to go to being in the bottom. They're playing relatively well. They got a point. I don't think they're complaining too much. I just see this as obviously, well, for if I'm either Dennis Mann or Josh Jerky, and you just spent, I don't know what it was, $15 million on me to buy me, and you're not playing me, I'm obviously not happy about it. The game was what it was.
Yeah. Up next, we have one of the most prolific matches of the week. Inter winning 3-0 against Milan.
Oh, one of the most prolific matches of the week. I thought you were going to say Crotone and Juventus. you set it up. I had to do something. If they don't win the league, it's going to be the biggest choke job in a long time. I think it's done. It's cooked. Milan have lost two games in a row. I think Milan will now feel confident that they can win on the weekend or at least get something. But it's 5 points now?
Four
points still. 4 points is considering the form that you are in and considering the form that AC Milan is in, it just seems like Milan are going to drop out, and it seems like Juventus will come up. But I think that Inter are significantly in the driver's seats now. Lukaku was amazing, did really well. Lautaro Martinez was great. They played well. They played together. They ransacked them, and they significantly outplayed them. Lukaku scored, so quote-unquote, doesn't perform in the big games. when he's literally been the only player, interplayer since 1950 to score a goal in the Derby in four consecutive games. Then he scored against Lazio, and last year he scores against Rome. So it's just a bunch of – it's a myth that Man United fans created because he left them. But and then obviously he scores. He yells at Zlatan, and I thought that was kind of a cool moment. And Lautaro was good, and they all played well. But you don't get to this result without Tan Donovic.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a mic drop moment. Like, it's sort of like to the point where, like, okay, he's obviously going to be departing soon. That's the type of game where you say, all right, that's it, I'm done. You know what I mean? Because it's hard for me to imagine that he's ever going to be able to replicate that type of performance against an Inter Milan, against an AC Milan team that could have made things really interesting with and he saved. And when he made the two big saves, was before Inter got their second. And he came up with every big save imaginable. And it was tremendous what he was able to do with the entire situation. And I really think that, it's just something that he doesn't get enough credit sometimes for how good he's been with Inter Milan, and he's been really good for Inter. I mean, but he's not had his hands are a little bit more slippery than they used to be. But all the mistakes he has made have been directly to not making a save, but catching the ball and distributing the ball, not making the saves. I mean, he made two absolutely outrageous saves that AC Milan probably should have scored on those opportunities. Milan was without Benacer, and that's a big blow. But at the same time, it's not like Milan were dominated, because it actually was a pretty close game until those big saves. And once they made the saves like that, and did, you know, then it happened. And then obviously Lautaro getting the two, Lukaku getting the one, and overall collectively Inter have, you know, I honestly think it's over. But I'm not going to count anybody out, but I see this as they haven't won it officially, but I think they should start putting the name on the trophy, because I think it's just there, because AC Milan, and I'm a good form right now. Juventus are, I think they're too far away to stop. And that's what, like 8 wins in a row or something like that. They're playing really well. In fact, I think the last drop point that you had was against Roma. So, and that was a while ago. So, yeah, I just think Inter more or less secured the trophy, secured the title, Antonio Conte contract extension coming up, and we'll see what happens after the season. But I think it's more or less done. All Inter need to do is don't take the eye off the ball and continue to play well, and they'll be fine.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I'm going to be looking out for, is that they keep that momentum from this game to the rest of the season. Because if they take their eye off the ball, then they may end up bottling it, and it would be the bottle job of the century. But this is – Inter have everything to lose as well in this. Because if they don't maintain that momentum, they could easily fall back into old habits. But based on what we've seen,
But the worst, they can finish a second. They're not
falling right before. But overall, this is definitely, I think, 100%, in my opinion, almost done. Obviously, it's not done mathematically. But like you just said, if you looked at the forms of Milan and then you look at the form of Inter 10, right now are the more composed side, and they've been performing a little bit more consistently, whereas Milan have had like some matches that they should have won, but they didn't, like last week's match against Spezia. This is a match that they're the stronger team, but they just couldn't capitalize.
And here's the thing about that real quick. So your next two games are against Genoa and Parma. That should be 6 points. And then you play Atlanta, and then what follows that? And then Torino. So of your three of your next four games, you should be getting – if you lose to Atlanta, I think it's okay, because Atlanta are a team that always show up in these big games. But I think you honestly could get Let's see. That's at least 10 points in your next four games. Or the next three games or whatever it is. So not only are you in a good space right now, but you're also, your schedule is coming into your advantage, and there will be a point where you have some difficult games. But my theory is if you beat Genoa, you beat Parma, you beat Torino and Atalanta. If you win your next four games, I think it's over. I think Inter should be looking at Juventus as their biggest challenger. But I just don't think Juventus have it in them to pull this off. So it's not done. And we have to give respect to teams that are still in it. But it seems over.
Yeah, because I know with Milan and Juventus, over the next few matches, they have a couple big games coming up with, like, some of the top – like more of the top table teams. So their schedule is kind of a little bit more difficult at this point. So, I mean, if Inter are able to beat those smaller teams and the other guys, like, have a hard time with their bigger matches, and, yeah, eventually Inter are going to hit a couple big matches in the stretch, but as long as they focus on even those small little matches, this is almost game over. And
yeah, at this point, at this very point right now, I mean, this is the significant moment of the season, because if you look down later down the stretch, down the schedule, you're going to have to play Juventus Juventus again. You're going to have to play Napoli again, Atalanta, Roma. These teams they're going to come up. But at this point, I have a hard time believing that you would lose to any of those. You would certainly beat Napoli. You'd beat Roma. Atlanta's a tricky one. That's the one I'm not sure about. And maybe Juventus would get you just because they're going to be mad because when that happens, you probably will be more insecure in the title. But I think going into the rest of the season, especially the big games, I think you're likely to pick up points from practically all the big teams except maybe Atlanta and maybe Juventus, and that's it. So you're in like amazing shape right now. All you have to do is just keep it going. Again, I don't think Inter fans should be celebrating yet. I think you understand that the fans should understand that you have so much momentum and it looks like you're going to win the league. But you still have to be careful. Roma once lost a league title because they couldn't beat Sampdoria. So because of situations like that, I would just advise Inter fans to just hold, don't start celebrating. But I do think essentially it's cooked, and I think I'd start writing the name of the trophy because I really think it's going to be hard. Especially if Milan falls out, I think it's done because I can't see a scenario where Juventus all of a sudden comes up big and overtakes you because you have a significant advantage over them right now. So yeah, you're in a good space right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but for now, I'm just going to savor this. I'm savoring this win because this was we determined this was the make or break match for Inter. Like, if they won, it basically sets them up to, like, win the Scudetto, to win the title easily. But if Milan had somehow miraculously got back into it and they were able to get the points, then, of course, Inter would be still chasing down the title as Milan would eventually go back to 2 points clear of the top. But we showed up. And besides, on top of that, we had the fresh legs going into this match since Milan played in the Europa League. And without their midfielder, Benacer, it was pretty much like a main issue for them because he is their main goal chance creator. And
well, he's not their goal scorer, but in terms of the midfield, I think he's probably the most important. So I mean that helps, but I don't think you should say okay if he played, Milan definitely would have won. I think you still, based on the way you play, you deserved your points in the end.
Yeah. So overall, this was definitely the match that could have made or broke Inter this week, and they showed up. And
real quick before you move on. So I have a question on this in a second, but so if Inter win the league, you have to apologize to Conte.
Oh, I'm already ready to do that. So if
I'm just letting you know. I'm not letting you off the hook for that one.
Yeah, I was actually gonna do that anyway. Like, I'm sorry, God.
Don't do it yet. Don't do it yet. I want it to be. I want you to savor it. I want you to say what you said, and then I want you to apologize for the statements and saying Conte was the right. You get what I'm saying. I mean, last year I had to wear an Inter jersey. I'm gonna milk this when you win the title. Anyway, speaking of Conte, okay. So this is something, and I don't need specific names. So obviously, to a certain extent, you believe that if Inter had advanced through the Champions League, they probably would not have the same type of momentum going forward this season.
Yeah,
would you agree with that? All right. So now you're in a bigger situation. You're going to win the league this season. It looks like it. When you win the league, next season, that's no longer the expectation. The expectation will be winning the league and going for it in the Champions League. And when I mean going for it, I mean that the fans will now expect semifinal at the minimum. Okay? So you can say, okay, Conte's not the greatest at Champions Leagues. We understand that. And the reason it's worked in the league is because you have the most depth for the league play, and your team is great, and you have Lukaku Martinez scoring, and you back to front is a really strong team. But going forward next year, what needs to happen in the summer? And I don't need names. If you have a name that you want to throw in the box, you can. But what needs to happen with Inter? What did Inter need to do to get enough depth to fire on all fronts? Because, as you know, Juventus have won the league, whatever, 9 times in a row. They've made 2 Champions League finals. Okay, so teams are capable of winning the league and going far in the Champions League. So for your Inter, you want to be able to fight on all fronts next season, Coppa Italia as well. But that's less important. Next season, you're going to want to fight for the Champions League and the league. What needs to happen for you to accomplish that? And we're assuming that Conte.
Okay, I would definitely like seek another striker because. I mean, yeah, Alexis Sanchez was brought in to kind of, like, help be a backup striker, but he hasn't lived up to, like, what we need him to be. So maybe getting a striker that could add a little bit more depth just in case if Martinez or Lukaku end up injured. Definitely a new keeper is definitely one of them to, like, start, like, performing in those, like, roles since, obviously, Handanovic is going to be on his way out at some point. I would also say maybe another midfielder. Just we've talked about a couple players in the past that would. Savage. Oh my gosh, I would love him though, but I know that's never gonna happen. But we've also discussed other names in that area as well. Then maybe another defender, possibly, that is also, like, really strong in a back three formation. But other than that, pretty much from top to bottom, we have the squad that can do what it takes to make a push. But we'll see how that goes next season, where we actually have to perform not only for the Scudetto, but make a push in the Champions League as well.
So you're thinking about this in, like, not necessarily having to get a superstar, but going for kind of getting squad depth to try to so you can operate on fronts. Because, honestly, if you had a little bit more depth this season, I think that Champions League campaign would have gone a lot better for you. And I'll be honest, if you had finished third, you'd won the Europa League without question. I don't see any team in this competition right now that could have beat you. So you kind of, in retrospect, you kind of think back and seeing of what you could have done. And I think you could have made more about the Champions League, but I think you just missed a little bit of depth in that to try to really fight and contend with the big boys. And again, there are some monsters in that competition. Bayern Munich is not going away. They just signed one of the best center backs in the Bundesliga. And their biggest problem is defense. So they're fixing that. Man City's not going away. As long as Pep's there, regardless of their history, they're always in it. PSG's not going away. As long as Neymar, either one, if as long as one of those guys, either Neymar and Mbappe, are in Paris, they're a problem. But as Inter going forward, I think if you add enough pieces, you should legitimately try to go deep in both competitions. Because since you've been a fan, you've gone to haven't even gone to the round of 16 yet, have you?
In
the
Champions League? No, I actually haven't. Wait, I'm trying to think. Depressing. Give me a second.
So, Icardi, the first year was the Barcelona Dortmund group when you had Icardi. You remember you got knocked out. He didn't play in that, and then you went out to Frankfurt. The next year, you went through the whole thing. You almost went through, but Barcelona beat you. At the San Siro, you got knocked out. Then you went to the Europa League final, lose to Sevilla, and then I think before that, maybe there was
Tottenham group, I think.
I'm going back
to my memory banks, and I don't think I actually have been to the round of 16.
Oh. You'll love it. I'm just I'm convincing you to go on vacation. You'll love it. It's great there. You get to play some big teams. They come to your house and wreck you. And then you go to their house and wreck them. If you're lucky, you overturn a 4-1 deficit, go to a Champions League semifinal, then face Liverpool, get crushed, and then the second leg and almost beat Liverpool and then get knocked out and seeing.
I'm actually laughing so hard I'm crying. Oh my god, that is hilarious. Okay, hang on, let me breathe and get back to my composure here. Okay, I'm back. Yeah, but that would definitely be awesome to finally make it to a group stage in the Champions. Like, once that happens, I'm like, anybody got more snacks?
But I'll tell you this about this. The pressure and the anxiety of, because I'm sure you feel anxiety when you're playing AC Milan or Lazio or Roma, like the big teams give you anxiety. It doesn't even remotely compare to the anxiety you feel in the Champions League round of 16, especially if you concede first and they all of a sudden have an away goal. And now in your mind mentally, you're like, oh shit, I need two away goals to put this favor back in our court. So it is very problematic, but also it's exciting to be a part of. Because you want that song, the Champions League song, you want it back. And I love the Europa League theme and it's great and all that stuff, but you want to hear that Champions League song. And when you're out there on the pitch and it's you against them and it's knockout stage football and you just hear that music and you're like, you're ready to go. So in terms of that, just real quick, I want to brush up on the Champions League just one more time. If you're in the market, do you think what do you think would be a better approach? Going foreign, so trying to get foreign players from La Liga, the Premier League, the Bundesliga, whatever, or try to buy inside the league? Because the reason you buy inside the league is because you know them, you're familiar with them very well, and you see how they can fit in. The reason you go to Europe is you get players that the other opposing teams don't necessarily know how to handle them or what their strengths and weaknesses are. And that's, I think, sometimes. So if you were Inter, how would you go? Obviously, I assume Inter will do both. They'll buy inside the league and they'll probably also buy out of Europe. But what do you think is the best approach for Inter to
I think depth? I would go into Europe because not only could you get people from the Premier League and the Big Five, you could get them from other leagues as well. And it's hard. And then on top of that, like, say if you end up going into a Champions League matchup against, like, say if the person that you brought in, they're like, oh, they used to be my rival. I think they can provide that, like, different insight of, like, how to defeat certain teams, like, with what they've experienced in the league before they came to Italy. So I think having a little bit more depth from other competitions would definitely be beneficial, especially when it comes to like knowing how to compete. They're like, oh, say if you have a Premier League player come in and then you end up facing a Premier League team, they could say, hey, back when I was in this league, it's best to attack. They're going to more than likely line up this way. So here's what I would suggest. And then they work together and possibly beat them. So you kind of have more of that insight with people who come in from different European countries versus that of your own league.
Yeah. Would you say that, would you be interested in potentially getting, obviously you're going to probably mix it with young players and veterans. Would you try for a veteran with Champions League experience? Would you be, is that something that you think Inter would be, you would be interested in, even if that means overpaying slightly? Or would you rather just kind of spread it out? Because I think I can, because there's obviously great players out there who may not be in their peak anymore, but will provide something different. Like, you sign them not to necessarily to be the greatest player ever, but to give them that edge in Champions League games. Or do you see as a, like, how would you approach it if you were
in charge? I know. Decisions? I think I would do what Inter Milan did when they brought in Arturo Vidal. Kind of like bring someone who is a little bit older, but not too old, but that could still give you a couple of seasons to and who has that experience, because I think the experience would like give them an edge, knowing that what they're, because since they have that experience, they're able to like spill that knowledge and information onto the team, and they'll know how to best attack the game. Whereas if you kind of like go with somebody who's may not be in their prime or they're a little too young, they're not going to have that I guess intellect to like handle the situation. Who,
you know what I'd go for? This might be this is an expensive option. What about
Real
Madrid? I think so. Here's why. I think he's still in his prime, but even though he is, I think he's 30. He's early 30s, and you would have to pay a lot of money. Like, don't get me wrong, you'd have to pay like 60, 70 million. But if you think about it, imagine what he can provide. He is the type of player that Barella aspires to be. You know what I mean? He has everything. He's one of the most underrated midfielders of the, and and he's won the Champions League five times or four times or whatever it is. He knows how to operate in this game, and I'd be willing to, even if he's 32 years old, I would be willing to plunge an exuberant amount of cash, because you're not going to get Savage. That's not happening. Lazio are not selling to Inter unless it's as a release clause thing. Toni Kroos would be, I think, perfect. Although I don't know how willing they will be in terms of negotiating with Inter Milan. But if you just more or less think about what someone like that can provide to a team, and again, not going to give you a lot of goals, but just imagine this. You would have Barella and Kroos together, and you could bring Brozovic off the bench. Like, I think that's like, I don't know dynasty necessarily, but with a player like that, I think you'd be capable of winning a couple in a row. But I think that's someone, if you're coming off a league title and you're going to go after someone like that, you have a better argument than when you don't. So, and he's done everything you could possibly win at Real Madrid. Real Madrid is in the best place. I think Zidane is probably leaving. It opens up a lot of possibilities for what you could get. Again, it would be difficult, but if you were able to pull off Toni Kroos to Inter, I mean, oh my God. You know what I mean? I don't know. Anyway.
That would definitely be a good option. Just seeing Kroos and Barella play, oh my word. I can imagine that now. It'd be amazing to watch them perform together. I definitely 100% agree.
So Atletico, I hope they win the title by 15 points. Actually, if he's on the doorstep of winning the title this season, then it's less enticing. So Atletico, you should be cheering for Atletico to win by by a decent margin, just because it'll be harder to pull off a deal like that if Real Madrid misses on the title by 1 point or they win it. But anyway.
Yeah. Up next, we have, and speaking of the two player teams that will eventually have to face down the stretch, Atalanta win 4-2 against Napoli.
I forgot about that game. All right, that's why I spent so much time on the Inter stuff, because I thought we only won one game left. Atalanta, they were great. Not to say Napoli weren't great, but Atalanta, they just took advantage of their opportunities. They had Gasperini sent off early in the game, and they still scored 4 goals I think all of them came in the second half, if I'm not mistaken. Zabata scores, and then Gosens scores, and then you look up, and it's 3-1 to Atalanta. Napoli get one back, and then Muriel provides the kiss of death, crossover into the box, rock into the top roof of the net. Atalanta win this 4-2. They're back and moving. It's the best time for them to heat up because they had to play Real Madrid. I think this week, so it's going to be interesting whether they can pull that off or not. They're in good form right now. They're playing well. They are a little inconsistent this season. And Napoli again suffers after beating Juventus last week. This is exactly what they needed. And for Atalanta, just ripping them apart, and Napoli kind of went back to normal. And the more I watch Napoli, the less I'm convinced that they're going to make the Champions League. So they continue to slip and slip and slip, and they can turn it on a couple times. And I'm just going to reiterate what I said last week. I just don't think they're that good. And I wish Metal best who got injured had to be taken to the hospital, but Napoli, they played well, but by the time they started getting back into
what happened to the player, because I heard something about that in one of our chats.
Oh, he had to be dragged off and taken immediately to the hospital. He was unconscious. I don't remember what the injury was, but I don't want to speculate, but probably something. I watched the game 2 days ago, so I don't remember specifically what happened, but I think it had something to do with his head, or I'm guessing. But he had been taken to the hospital, and he was unconscious, and it's a scary situation for anybody. So I just want to wish him the best and hope he recovers quickly and is able to get back out there again. But
actually the Napoli match was yesterday along with the Inter match. I know.
I watched Bundesliga and Serie A, so sometimes I get confused.
Understand. But yeah, this was definitely a great result for Atalanta. I mean, 4 goals in the second half to come back, win this thing is huge. Napoli, I mean, they struggled a little bit, but overall they had a decent performance despite falling short. So, I mean, overall this was a great match from start to finish. The last match yesterday, a 0-0 draw. Benevento versus Roma.
I don't know what you're talking about. That was no Roma game yesterday. Juventus is 2 up on.
Yeah, I know. I get been keeping goals up with the result. Every time I do things, I get refreshed just to see what the score update is.
It's just too bad he couldn't play that against Porto. It's just, I don't know, it's just frustrating sometimes because you want to see them play him at play at that level, but it just seems like he's not capable of doing that against the bigger teams where he's more so having moments. I'm not dodging the question, but I just saw that on my phone. It was awful. Big props to Benevento. You were the first team in the last 26 games that from a newly promoted team to take points off Roma. That is a league record. I don't think I don't think it's even close. I think that was the most historical run of against newly promoted teams ever. And Roma still hasn't lost to one. So it's 27 games unbeaten against newly promoted teams. But it sucks to see it come to an end. It sucks to see that game. It was a bad performance. No creativity, no character, not clinical finishing. Didn't really have any go chances the whole game. Benevento, did what they were supposed to do. And what they end up doing is just holding on and trying to do as much as possible. And they played this well. They let Roma have the ball 71% of the time. They allowed that to happen because they wanted that to happen. So they orchestrated the way they approached Roma based on the fact that Roma was going to have the ball a lot. And they made that decision early, and that's just what happened. In the first 5 minutes of the game, the possession was like 85% to Roma. So they let us have the ball the entire time. And they did it for basic a reason. They made it frustrating to play against, and Roma just didn't provide anything necessary. Benevento, great point. I think they should be really proud of their performance. It was, you could say, Benevento masterclass, the way they played the game, the way they approached this game, the way they executed. Roma did get a penalty in the 90th minute, but it was offsides when the penalty was. It was a penalty, but it was offside, so it didn't matter. So Roma didn't get a chance to score a penalty at the end of the game. It was nice to see El Shaarawy get back on and give us some sort of spark, but there's just not too many positives to take. It was a dull match. Didn't have a lot of chances. Barely any chances between the two teams. Roma only had 4 shots on target. Benevento had 3. So it was just, there's not much. And again, we were defensively weak because of the type of players we had to go to because of our injuries. Cristante was out. Abanez was out. And Kambula and Smalling were both out as well. So we had Leo Spinazzola had to play center back. And then we had to play Fazio with Abanez. And then we had to put Bruno Perez on the left wing back, who was horrible. But that doesn't excuse anything. Because Roma is one of the best attacking sides in the league, and they don't need the defenders to do that for them. I thought Rick Karsdorp played well, but I don't think anyone really showed up, and it was a bad game, bad energy, bad everything, and it was 0-0 drawn, and even if Roma would have won this game, it wouldn't have been deserved. The point was thoroughly deserved by Benevento, and obviously, Roma missed an opportunity to go within points of AC Milan, who they play next week, which I don't know. I can't imagine Roma, us feeling that we don't have any momentum. They just nip that in the bud. And so that's a scary game to think about. But luckily, Milan are in worse form than we are.
Please
so
maybe do.
We have a chance to win this. But and we'll have our that's not even the team you should be worrying about right now. It's the team wearing black and white, because they have a game in hand. So they're at 45 points right now. If they win the game in hand, it's 48 points. That makes it 48 to 53. And it is Juventus. They're going to win some crappy games. AC Milan aren't going to win crappy games, because I get it though. Yeah. We'll do our best and all that. But I think Juventus is – AC Milan is no longer your problem. Yeah, I don't think you have a problem at this point, but Juventus is the team that's, I think, most likely to give you any sort of push at the top. But, again, we'll do our best. But neither AC Milan or Roma are in good form going into this game. And I hope we get back on track.
Yeah, I just felt bad because I kind of knew, like, when I was watching your Europa League match over the week – when I saw a couple of your players that participate in your defensive line get injured, I'm like, yeah, going into this week's match against Benevento, I kind of figured it would either end in a draw or for some reason Benevento would pull out the win, because with your main defenders out, it's kind of hard to keep them at bay. But you,
yeah, that's not why we won. That's not why we lost, but that doesn't help. And the crazy thing is, in our last three games at Benevento, do you know what the aggregate score is? 14-4. In our last three games against Benevento, our last couple games, it's 14-4 on aggregate. No team in the Serie A has given Benevento more problems than Roma. They have scored at least four goals in three games against them. And you get what I'm saying? So it was just like, you felt like they probably would pull it off just because Benevento just doesn't do well against Roma. But obviously, but yeah, I don't regret the Europa League thing is, because I think it's more than anything, this match highlights, we need to go for the Europa League. And it just bothered me how many people were complaining about Europa League stuff and who was playing, who was and who was playing that shouldn't be playing and things like that. Look, we're in a tight race. I understand that. We're overachieving even if we finish fifth. Roma, if they go for it, can win the Europa League. Why would you pick finishing fourth without a trophy than winning the trophy? Again, there's not that many teams in the competition that can beat Roma. So I just don't I don't like all the negativity and criticism of the Europa League situation. If you could ask me, if we did it again, if we could repeat the week, would I want Roma to do the same thing? I absolutely would. I want to win a trophy. We're not winning the league. The best we could do is second. So I just think the criticism about the Europa League is uncalled for. We can actually go win a trophy. Why shouldn't we do it? But again, I understand. And the thing about the Europa League stuff is those two players could have got hurt any other game. They could go in Benevento and get hurt. So you can't totally blame them playing those players in the Europa League as the reason why we lost. We played like shit, and that's why we lost. And had they not played the Europa League, we probably still would have played like crap. So I don't think it's fair to blame that in that aspect, which I may be sitting on my own little fence here, and I might be the only person who believes this.
I absolutely 100% agree with you. You guys should be pushing for Europe, because I mean, yeah, you want to finish in fourth. Yeah, and you're already going to finish, in my opinion, in the top four. That's like guaranteed for me.
But even if you miss it, would you rather just have a trophy and get it? Because if we win the Europa League, we get the Champions League anyways, even if we finish 19th. So winning that trophy, we get a trophy for one. It's been a long time. Secondly, we get into the Champions League. Who cares where if we win the Europa League, it doesn't matter where we finish in the league. So I've never understood. Europa League should be treated. It's not as good as the Champions League, but it should be treated with respect. And I feel like it doesn't. And I don't like the mentality of thinking about the next game before the Europa League. You should actually try and win this. There's a lot of big teams that are not in it this season. The Europa League the best teams in the Europa League are all winnable. There's no Sevilla. Sevilla's not in there. There's no Leipzig. Leipzig's not in there. So there's a lot of big teams that usually are in the Europa League that aren't in the Europa League. This is the best chance Roma's ever had to win the Europa League since being in the competition. So I just don't understand the thought process of, oh, let's throw the Europa League so we can finish fourth. Why not win the Europa League?
Yeah, exactly. So I hope you're able to make that push, because you guys need something for this season. Yeah, it'd be cool if you and I each get a little something from this season. Like, Inter obviously are going to get the Scudetto. You win Europa League. I mean, it'd be awesome. But I just feel bad for Ryan then, because he wouldn't get anything. Oh. Okay, Ryan's so yeah, like he, yeah, so it's life. Our turn.
I love Ryan, and I wish the situation at Arsenal was going a lot better than it is. I want them to be better than most of the teams that are doing well. I liked Arsenal before I knew Ryan, so I also want them to do well. But it's not like Arsenal is short of trophies. They've won a lot. he's seen, I think, 3 league titles. He's seen his team make the Champions League final. He's seen his team win multiple FA Cups. So again, I hope all is well and everything is good, and hope that they can manage to do something. But it's not like he's the last time he won a trophy was last year. The last time I saw my team win a trophy was 2008. And you have
I need my first piece of silverware, please.
Hold on, let me ask you something. If you had gone to the Coppa Italia final and lost, and then had to play Juventus, or not Juventus, let's say AC Milan wins the league, and then you had to play Juventus for the Supercoppa, would you celebrate? Like, I probably trophy, have. Or I would. Have,
I mean, yeah, I would celebrate a little bit, but I wouldn't celebrate it as like any huge accomplishment, though. What?
Yeah, you wouldn't count it though, would you? Because I feel like Supercoppa and Community Shield, they're not like, it's not the same thing. You know, it's not like you had to fight through to get there. You only got there because of
making right, the final but last like season. I said, I would celebrate you know what I mean? It as it's my first piece of silverware, but I wouldn't really celebrate it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you're on your way to getting one, and hopefully we get one as well, and hopefully
we each get cupcakes and celebrate our victories. But yeah, that was pretty much the only other match that is completed. But obviously, we know the score line right now with the Juventus match leading 2-0 against Crotone. Obviously, they're going to win it. I mean, Crotone, we obviously know they're terrible, so there's really no main storylines except that Juventus are going to win. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and, just take it with a grain of salt. This victory for Juventus doesn't mean that they're all of a sudden the most incredible side in Europe or anything like that. It just means it takes up points against a team that can't.
Do you have anything else you want to like talk about or plug in?
I mean, by the time this is out, it'll be irrelevant, but I'll do it anyways. Tonight we're having an episode of the Cannon Snakes and Olympico. I almost said Stadio Olympico. It's been so long that tonight with Ryan, Danielle, and myself. So I mean, it's going to be irrelevant by the time you listen to this because this episode will be out, and you probably won't be able to listen to it before this happens. And then obviously I have an episode with the Couch of Tears this evening as well. But yeah, and then we'll be back Friday to talk about the Champions League matches and the Europa League matches and so on and so forth. The Europa League, or I think the Europa League draw is on Friday. No, it's on Saturday. But not this Friday, but next Friday we'll have the results of who's going to be playing who in the next round of the Europa League, and then
Champions League stuff. Yeah, I'm looking forward to tonight, and after we get off of here, I got to get my post-match article completely typed up. So, other than that, as always, this has been a